1 month after fire destroyed the historic West Australian town of Yarloop, anger is growing about the speed of the government clean-up. Anthony Stewart visited Yarloop and found residents still struggling to come to terms with the scale of the destruction.
The thing that it gets everybody, I think, is the way I get the haphazard nature of the fire. I mean, you've got here a building where there's nothing wrong, and right next door to it, two houses just not there anymore.
Access to Yarloop is restricted. A checkpoint controls who can come and go. Steve Osborne has agreed to drive me through what remains of his community.
Kind of devastating, really, when you look at it. It seemed to hit one house and miss another one and then, you know, jump into the bush and then take out of three more houses. And, I mean, here, you look, this is just an entire street where there's nothing left. And then I think you've got two houses in a row that are still standing. This street we're about to turn into, Barrington Knight Road, is one of the main streets, and there's absolutely nothing left. The fella here on the corner, you can see the tent in his yard. It's where he pitched camp straight after the fire when his house was gone.
More than 150 houses and historic buildings burnt to the ground in less than 10 minutes on the 8th of January. Half of the town's residents haven't returned. Late last week, the mining company Alcoa confirmed it wouldn't rebuild 35 homes it owned, levelled by the blaze. As we drive through Yarloop, I spot Tony Toop on his lawnmower in front of a row of destroyed cottages.
I'm trying to mow my block so that, it doesn't get out of hand. It looks better. Some form of normality, I guess, for me.
You're mowing the lawn in front of a row of chimneys. How does it feel doing that?
I guess surreal, you know, to know what was there before and then to look down at this carnage. It's frustrating because it's been 4 weeks and, respect to the properties and to the owners, but, you know, it's frustrating to see that this place still looks like the day after the fire.
Are the authorities doing enough to help residents?
Look, to help the residents, yes. Everybody's been bending over backwards to do what they can for us. You know, there's that much support being provided for the community, but we've been told about the process by state government and by the Shire about the process they're taking to get onto the job. But, you know, it's a very bitter pill to be standing here looking at this 4 weeks later and still seeing not a piece of tin being moved.
Crews have restored power and water to many homes. Two teams are spraying a PVA solution over the rubble to keep the asbestos risk at bay. Les refused to leave, even though his home is gone.
In a swag in the veranda. Well, not really a veranda anymore. And then in a tent for a week and finally get a caravan.
What are you doing in the meantime?
Well, I'll show you if you like. I can't wait any longer to clean up the rubbish around the place, the fallen tin and that. I've cleaned it up, not disturbing the asbestos, and wet everything down so there's no dust. We can't live in a rubbish tent.
Do you feel as though enough's being done to get Yarloop cleaned up?
Nothing's been done. Nothing at all. Up until now, I try to stay polite. Reasonable. It's getting to the stage now when you say something because it's all bureaucratic nonsense.
More than $4 million in donations have been raised and a state recovery coordination committee has been established to assist the residents of Yarloop. But the head of that committee, Ken Michael, has acknowledged no final decision has been made on the future of the town.
Anthony Stewart with our report.